where you are seated, would you please just lift up your hands like we did last week? Say, Father, thank you for my 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all I need, and that's all I got. Hallelujah. Sometimes life isn't exactly the way we want it to be. There are many things in our lives in the moment that don't exactly present themselves like we dream of. Life is full of twists and turns. Sometimes the things that we think we want, we look and it looks in our hands, we have the exact opposite. Sometimes dreams that we have carried from our childhood, dreams from early years, compared to what we have currently in our lives, sometimes looks like a nightmare. I don't know what the disciples were thinking on this day when they looked out there and they saw this multitude of people that needed to be fed. I don't know what they thought. I do know one thing. The Bible says Jesus knew in his heart what he was going to do. Maybe the disciples wished that a philanthropist, a big shot who had a lot of money, could show up in that meeting and just write a check so they could go to the bakery and bring in a truckload of bread. I don't know if that's what they were thinking. But in this moment, all Jesus had was 5 loaves and 2 fish that belonged to an anonymous little boy. It was his lunch. Sometimes life is different from what we think it should be. But if we are thankful in the moment, we will discover God always had a perfect plan. If we're thankful in the moment. If you look in your hands and just look at what you have, but don't focus on it. If you will lift up your eyes to heaven and focus on the one we've been singing about all morning and thank him. Be thankful to him for his perfect plan for your life. You find out that everything was always in his perfect plan. Sometimes the people we want don't want us. Sometimes the things we dream about don't necessarily come our way. Sometimes you can look at the complexion of the kind of thing you want, and you may not necessarily have it in the moment. But if you would look at what you have, and if you would lift up your eyes and be thankful to the Lord, you'll find out ultimately that you always had what you dreamt of. You just didn't realize it. Amen. There are parents who have to care for children that turned out sometimes different from what they thought they wanted. There are spouses sometimes who have to deal with situations in the lives of their loved ones that they didn't think that's the way it was supposed to be. There are all sorts of career people, professionals, and ministers who look at what they have and sometimes seems opposite to what they always dreamt of having. If you will look at what you have and lift up your eyes to the great provider and be thankful, you will find out ultimately that he already prepared everything that you desired. Folks, many people don't know this, but this is one of the mysteries of life, what I'm sharing with you right now. Most human beings don't understand it. but it is one of the greatest mysteries of life. That if we will learn in the moment, sometimes while the world is laughing at you, sometimes while your neighbors are jeering at you, sometimes while the halves are making fun of you, if in the moment we will look in our hands and lift up our eyes and be thankful to the Lord, we will find out we always had everything that He designed for us. So, you know, you've heard me saying this. You hear me say it in some of the midweek services going forward. You hear me say it next week further as I go. But just commit yourself to being thankful. Be thankful for everything you have. Be thankful. Don't live a life of regret. Don't live a life of, I wish, why not? Don't live a life where you are second guessing your journey and your story. What if? I wonder what would have happened if. Don't live that kind of life. Live a life of gratitude. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. People say, thank God for the little things. And I found out many years ago, what they call little things are like the air we breathe. They say, thank God for the little things, like the air we breathe. And they don't realize what many times what people call the little things are the biggest things of life. Because that thing you call little, that air you breathe, if the Lord stopped it for 1 minute, all of us were toast. So be thankful. Be thankful for all the little things. Be thankful for all the big things. Be thankful for your life. Be thankful for your present. Be thankful for your past. Be thankful for your future. Be thankful because you know you have a God who loves you, who cares for you. Be thankful because you know you have a God who has a perfect plan to perfect everything that concerns your life. Your life is not a mistake. You know that. Hallelujah. I cannot count on my finger, the fingers of my hands, how many people I have met in my life who live a life of regret. I wish, I wish, I wish. It's time to quit that. I said it's time to quit that. That wish is doing nothing for you. And it's doing nothing for God. It's time to live a life of gratitude. Lift up your hands one more time. Say, Father, thank you for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. I thank you, Father, for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. I found out in that story, even though the word of God doesn't explicitly say it, while Jesus thanked God for the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he also thanked God for the anonymous little boy. He thanked God for the anonymous little boy who strayed into his meeting with his lunch pack. Because that boy became the basis for his miracle. We still don't know his name, but when we arrive in heaven, you will see. You will see we're going to celebrate that little boy. You will see when we get to heaven. We still don't know who he is. We don't know his name. So in the midst of that, as he's thanking God for the 5 loaves, he's thanking God for the 2 fish, he's also thanking God for the little boy. He's thanking God for the little boy. And how many of you know, at the end of the day, when they gathered, after everybody, multitudes and thousands of people were fed, when they gathered what was left, I think they were left with about 12 baskets or something like that, I guarantee you that little boy got a huge chunk of what was left. I guarantee you he did. You and I sometimes are like that little boy. Sometimes anonymous in the eyes of men. But Jesus is constantly thanking God for you. Because you strayed into his service. You strayed into his meeting. You were the miracle he needed in the moment. And the world may not know your name, but heaven will celebrate you when we get there eventually. Hallelujah. And it's not, don't wait until we get there. Even on this earth, all of the blessings that accrue, the 12 baskets, I guarantee you, you will get a big chunk of it. Shout hallelujah, somebody. I just wanted to give you that rhema, just quick. It's not a part of my message. I just wanted to share that with you. Amen. Do you have your Bibles with you? Lift them up. Lift up your Bibles. Some of you are lifting up your phones. Yeah, I know. Your Bible is in your phone. I get it. iPads and... All right. Yeah, right. Oh my gosh, she's holding your Bible. Sharing is caring. All right. Okay. All right. Say with me, this is the Word of God. It is the infallible Word of God. It is God's will, God's promise, and God's purpose for my life. I can be everything this word says I can be. And I can do everything this word says I can do. This word is everything that God has prepared for the perfect destiny He has created for my life. So today, I receive by faith into the prepared soul of my heart this word. And I declare in faith that it is producing in my life a great harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And verse 1, in the creation story that we read last week, I want to touch it a little bit further today as we move talking about the unprecedented work that God wants to do in our lives. What does this unprecedented work, what does it represent? It means God will do things in your life that will amaze even you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, eyes have not seen, eye has not seen, ears have not heard, it's not entered into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But these things are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. You'll see as we go along, even though I've touched on this a little bit in the course of these messages, we do need the Holy Spirit to be an active participant in our lives. Just as much as we need the Word of God to be fully active in our lives. And I want to say some things to you about the Word of God today and our relationship with it. Because I realize that we do know a lot of the basic things, and we harp a lot on those basic things. We talk about it a lot, and sometimes people can wonder about, okay, yeah, you say this all the time, and I know this, and I think I do this. So what am I missing here? I want to show you sometimes part of what people are missing, where the Word of God is concerned. Same thing, where the Holy Spirit is concerned. But in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, so, right off the bat, I want you to see something here that the earth was without form and void. God had a plan to recreate the earth and make it beautiful and make it good. And He was going to use words. And the Holy Spirit was going to be the creator right there, was going to be the executioner of the words of God. But I want you to notice that the words God was going to use, the words he was going to speak, were already there. Those words already existed. The Holy Spirit who created, he was already there in the moment. The Holy Spirit was right there in the moment. And for a while, nothing happened. Nothing. Absolutely nothing happened. And I guarantee you, the earth would have stayed without form and void forever if God hadn't done something different. The words were in his heart. The Holy Spirit was moving on the face of the waters. Everything he needed to create this new, glorious, beautiful world was right there, but nothing was happening until something changed. God changed something. This is not a mystery at all, but a lot of people really struggle with understanding some of the aspects of the way the kingdom of God works and the way the word of God works. And I want you to see, get an insight into some of that this morning, in this service, this afternoon. He says, the Spirit of God move upon the face of the waters, and, verse 3, God said. Say those three words with me. They're very simple. Say with me. And God said. Say those three words with me one more time. And God said. Very simple words. But those three words changed the world. And God said. Notice what God said was always in his heart. It was always there. The words were always there. But nothing was happening and nothing was changing until God spoke it. And you and I, we've gone through this, so I don't want to take time because I have a lot of ground to cover. So I really don't want to shortchange myself. Next week, Sunday, I want to minister a bit on the ministry of Thanksgiving. So I'm going to take a break from ministering what I've been ministering for the last several weeks. Next week, just to talk about the ministry of Thanksgiving. But, so I don't want to really read the whole thing, but you know, we read some part of this last week and we saw God created this and he created that. And each time he created, he said that was good. Each time he created, that's good. Each time he created, and then finally, he came and he created man, right? And then he gave them instructions, be fruitful, and that's verse 28, is it? 26, where is it? Where he says, and God said, let us make man in our own image. Is that 26? And then in verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created right there and then. He created male and female. Right there and then. And he blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Immediately empowered them and gave them what they needed. And right after that, in verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, for the first time, the Bible says everything God saw was very good. Up until this moment, everything he saw was good. Up until this moment, everything he saw was good. But in verse 31, everything he saw was very good. We look there, go back with me to Luke chapter 6. And verse 45, there was a mystery question here last week that we spent some time answering. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart does what? Brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart does what? Brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? There's obviously something really powerful about what the mouth says, right? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he went into, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he's like. He is like a man who built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does is like a man. He who hears and does not do, who doeth not. He that heareth and doeth not. That's King James for saying he does not do. He is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was very great. The ruin of that house was very great. Obviously, one of these two men was good, the other was not so good. We tried to answer the question last week. What makes the difference between the one God called, the one Jesus said was a good man, and the one who he said was an evil man? What really makes the difference? We tried to answer that question last week. Let's go and read John chapter 1 from verse 1. Are you going to tell us the answer again? Yes, I will. Give me a few minutes. John chapter 1, let's read from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. What's the same? The Word. The Word was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things. Somebody say all things. Say all things were made by him. Were made by him. All things were made. Who is him? The Word. All things were made by him, and without him, I want to put your brain and your spirit to work here. And without him was not anything made that was made. Who is him? The Word. In him was life. Who is him? The Word. And the life was the light of men. Who is this him again? The Word. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Who is this light? The Word. The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word, in fact, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But until the Word was released, nothing happened. The Word was with God. In fact, the Word was God. Would you say with me, would you agree with me if I said to you, the Word that was with God already had the potential to do everything God wanted it to do when that Word was with God? Would you agree with me? Let me ask you, why didn't it? Because it had not been spoken. The Word already had the potential. The Word had the power to do everything that God intended. But the earth continued to be without form and void. Nothing changed. Nothing happened. But the Word was already with God. And the Word was already God. And the Word already had the potential to change the world and to bring to pass what God had in mind. Why didn't it? And back in Luke chapter 6, it says the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, does what? Brings forth good things. So he already has the good treasure in his heart. Right? He already has the potential to bring forth good things, right? So last week, there were a few things that I pointed out. I put them in bullet points for you so that I know people learn better when these things are congealed into substantial points. And I want to remind you of these substantial points that we learned last week. Number one, pay attention to foundations and to the order of God in your life. Value the blueprint of God for your life. Pay attention to foundations and the order of God in your life. Value the blueprint of God for your life. There were two major things that made a difference between the one Jesus called good and the one that Jesus called evil. Two major things. One was the attention and the value that one of them gave to the foundations and the order of God's blueprint in his life. And the second was, this person was a hearer, a doer, and a speaker of the word of God, the good one. And the one that was called evil was not. So pay attention to find. I want to plow around this for just 1 or 2 minutes before I move on. Pay attention to foundations and the order of God in your life. Value the blueprints of God for your life. Pay attention. Pay attention to the foundation of God and to the order of God in your life. Like I said last week, everything God created, from the very moment he said, light be, and he saw light, he said, that's good. God didn't wait until he saw the crown jewel of his creation. He saw the ultimate dream of his heart in man, in creating man, and said, oh, that's good. No. Everything he created up until he made man was good. And yet, every single one of those things had to be created before man was created. That's the order of God. That's the order of God. The order of God sometimes can be very difficult to appreciate and to understand, because the order of God isn't really giving us sometimes immediately exactly what we want. But God is a perfect designer. God always works with a perfect plan. He's a perfect architect. Before God comes to a final resting point, he builds up to get there. Everything God does in our lives, he'll lead up to that point. And sometimes it can be frustrating while he's leading up to that point. Because all we see are the things he's doing, which is not exactly what we were looking for. But that order of God is extremely important for our lives. So pay attention to foundations. You know, the other thing about foundations is you don't see them. Like we said last week, you can look in this room, you can see the lights, you can see all the components, the media, you can see all of the, but you can't see the foundation. And yet the foundation is what is holding this building together. And the things that God refers to as foundation are some of the things that nobody really sees. So pay attention to the foundations of God in your life. Value his blueprint. What do I call the blueprint? The blueprint is always given by the Holy Spirit. The blueprint is like the kind of chart. What's that thing called? The architectural design that the builders look at. That master plan that the builders look at, and then they copy that in building the structure. That design was crafted by an architect. And that design was supposed to be the instruction and the guide for the structure that they want to build. Well, who gives us this design? Who gives us this blueprint? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the blueprint that God has for our lives. The Bible says, remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those. But they are revealed to us by who? By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. So pay attention to the foundations and the order of God in your life. Value the blueprints of God for your life. Number two, be a hearer, a doer, and a speaker of the word of God. Ensure the word of God is the dominant influence and the scepter of dominion in your life. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute here. Be a hearer, a doer, and a speaker of the word of God. Ensure the word of God is the dominant influence and the scepter of dominion in your life. These are two different things, and I'm going to spend just a little bit of time later on as I wrap this message up, talking about that scepter of dominion in your life. What is the dominant influence? What does that mean? The dominant influence. You've had me paint this picture before. If you've had me talk about this particular concept. Everything in our lives begin with thoughts, right? Our thoughts create our emotions. Is that right? Okay. Our emotions create our actions, right? Our actions become our habits. Is that right? Our habits form our character. Is that so? Our character is responsible for our destiny. Do we all agree on this? Let me take it again. Everything begins with thoughts. The thoughts in our hearts. Everything in our lives, everything our lives produce begin with thoughts. These thoughts produce emotions. What's another word for emotions? Somebody say feelings. Feelings. Have you heard people say, I feel, and I don't know why I feel. The reason you feel is because of the thoughts in your heart. Your feelings are determined by your thoughts. If you feel weak, I just feel weak emotionally, it's because there are weak thoughts in your heart. So I think I'm strong, I think I'm okay, but I'm just not happy. The not happy feeling is created by the thoughts in your heart. So your thoughts create your emotions or your feelings. What do your feelings do? Your feelings are responsible for your action. Actions. Your feelings will make you take steps, and those steps will become actions. Your actions, when they are repeated over time, will become habits. Your habits will form your character. Your character often determines your destiny. So very simply, we can draw a straight... Those of you who don't like teaching, you are going to be very bored by this message. Those of you who like shouting and hollering, I don't have that today. I gotta teach this now. I'm so sorry. I hate to disappoint you, but I'm gonna just teach this, okay? So if you feel like sleeping, just get up, walk a little bit, sit down. You know, we are captivated by many things in the world. Those things don't change. They don't affect our lives at all. We're captivated by what's going on in the news. We're captivated. I mean, I checked this out once. I was reading this news article. It really captivated. Man, I was so into it. Then I dropped it. I opened my Bible, started reading my Bible, started sleeping off. See, why are you captivated by the news article, but you are sleeping off on the Bible? And the news article will not change your life. The Bible will. The Word of God will. So what you do is you feel, I'm sleeping off, but you don't sleep when you are reading that news article. Or listening to Adansi Cooper, you will never doze, ever. I mean, the guy he just entertains you just by, or those of you who like Tucker Carlson, whichever one you pick. You just listening to them, or those of you who like Rachel Maddow, as you are listening to them, they just stir something within you. But then you pick up your Bible to read, and before you've read two verses, you go, you hear yourself. Snoring. that's not good. That's not good. And you got to change that. The reason you've got to change that is what is going to bring good out of your life. That null and void, earth was without form and void that we are all dealing with. What is going to change it and make it good and very good is the Word. It's not Anderson Cooper. So let's go back here. I have some time. I'm going to teach. So everything begins with thoughts. Your thoughts are responsible for your emotions, your feelings. Your feelings will determine your actions. If you worry a lot, and if you are anxious a lot, let me say, I just don't know why I worry so much. I just don't know why I'm so anxious. And maybe pills may help. Pills may help you temporarily, but pills will not deliver you from those. You know why? The worry and the anxiety is thoughts. It's thoughts right here, these thoughts. And sometimes these thoughts don't exist in isolation. Sometimes these thoughts become, they're actually strongholds because we have given them so much room in our lives that they have taken over. And you can't change those thoughts by just saying, I cast you down. No. But when they become a stronghold like that, you need more than I cast you down. So it is important you don't let them become a stronghold. Because if they become a stronghold, you will worry, you will panic, you will be anxious, and you will not understand why. So you've got to root out, you've got to take that authority. I told you, towards the end, I'm going to talk to you a little bit, and we've got to teach some of these things because these things will help us. I'll talk to you a little bit about this scepter of dominion in your life. It's got to be the Word of God. The Word of God has to be both the dominant influence as well as the scepter of dominion or the scepter of authority in your life. If it's not, you are just going to live this life without form and void. You are going to live it for a long time. Worry and anxiety and fear. Someone was telling me about this spirit of fear last, I think it was Pastor Tino telling me about some people dealing with this panic and fear and this young person. But then they found out that it was actually, it's deeply rooted. Well, that thing has become a stronghold. When it becomes a stronghold like that, it has, what is a stronghold? It is strong and it has taken hold. That's why we call it stronghold. It is strong and it has taken hold. When it is strong and it has taken hold, it is difficult to move it out of its place just by the regular things. I cast you down. No, there's something more than that has to happen. But if you pay attention to a teaching like this, you can even learn how to not allow it become a stronghold. So thoughts are responsible for feelings. Have you heard sometimes they say, somebody says they always feel like they have a headache. But they go, they do all the tests in the hospital. There is nothing wrong. They see nothing. But they say they feel like they always have these migraine headaches. They feel like there's something wrong. They feel. Your thoughts will create feelings and emotions. Depression and suicide comes from that too. People who end up in depression, people who end up having suicidal tendencies, it's from this. The thoughts become feelings, and those feelings become strongholds. They can't shake them. Those feelings are responsible for actions that they take. Those repeated actions become habits. The habits will form their character. And their character will determine their destiny. The reason I'm going through all of this is I want us to address these thoughts. The one way that the Lord has given us to address this beginning thought, where everything begins, I said I can draw a straight line from your thoughts to where you end up. This thought, the answer, the miracle God has given us for our thoughts is to make the Word of God the dominant influence in our lives. These thoughts are not, they don't exist in isolation. They come from your environment. They come from your upbringing. They come from the things you see a lot and the things you listen to a lot. These are the things that create your thoughts. Right? Remember in the lives of the disciples of Jesus, one time when he told them Lazarus is sick, then he said, then he went somewhere. Then finally he said, he told them Lazarus is dead. And one of the disciples said, let's go die with him. Do you remember that story? Let's go die. Let's go. Have you noticed that when you hang around certain things, those things ultimately make you want to be like them? If you listen, that's why, all these horror movies and all this crazy stuff and video, God bless you, video games with all this. Where do you think this pandemic of just violence, where do you think it comes from? These little children don't create it. They see it and they see it and see it and see it. And it eventually becomes the dominant influence in their lives and then creates thoughts. And they begin to do things that even they don't understand. They can't explain it. Why am I doing it? Because they were exposed to certain things. So the reason I'm going through this, I'm taking a little bit of time, forgive me. But the reason I'm going through this, we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about God doing the unprecedented work in your life. Everything, the scope, the depth, the extent, and the durability of anything and everything God will ever do in your life is dependent on the place that His Word has in your life. The scope, the extent, the durability, the depth, and everything that God can do in your life is ultimately determined by the place His word has in your life. And it is extremely important that we allow the word of God to be both the dominant influence in our lives as well as the scepter of dominion in our lives. Now, you don't know much about that. You do, but you just don't know that's what I'm talking about. And before I close, I'm going to say something about that. The word of God has to be both the dominant influence as well as the scepter of dominion in your life. This explains, I tell you this now, children of God, this explains the reason why a lot of people have a religious interaction and a religious relationship with the word of God that is not producing fruits. You can read the Bible 10 times every day. You can do everything. You can do all of that. But there's more. There is more to the ability and the power of the word of God to produce in your life than you just reading it 10 times every day. Or hearing it preached 10 times every day. There's more to it than that. That word of God has got to be the dominant influence in your life that affects your doing. And your doing begins from the thoughts, right? It becomes the dominant influence. But in addition to that, you've got to take the water. You got to hear me this. Here, please hear this. Excuse me, I'm mixing up my English language here. Hear what I'm saying to you. The word of God, think about it. In creation, the word was always there. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with, and the word was God. The word was always there. And yet, the earth was without form and void. All that while, the word was there. And the word was God. So, it's like, yeah, I read my Bible 10 times a day. That's the word is there. But the word is there does not mean your earth that is without form and void is going to change. Oh, no. It doesn't mean that. The word of God has to be both the dominant influence in your life, listen to me, and it has to be your scepter of dominion. That's why I heard you repeat those three words at the beginning. And God said. So be a hearer, a doer, and a speaker of the word of God. You can't have this great relationship with the word of God. You are always hearing, you are always in church, in service, either online or in person or whatever. But it doesn't actually change the words that come out of your mouth. That's a big problem. That's a huge problem. You can, and then, you know, you will listen. Jesus said, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, does what? Will produce, listen, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, will produce good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart will produce evil. And then he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is produced from your mouth is the test of the authenticity of the word of God that you say you believe in. What is coming out of your mouth regularly? Daily. The word of God is full of confession. It's not because God wants to make us professional confessors. The psalmist, I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the goodness and the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. God didn't put all those confessions in the Bible just so we can become professional confessors. No, it is so that out of the abundance of what is in our heart, our mouth is speaking, and we are producing life. We are producing life. Out of the abundance, when you now bring it out, you produce life. And truly, that thing you confess becomes so. I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. It's all interwoven with our relationship with the Word of God. That's why Jesus talked about these two people. One of them built on a foundation, and he built and he dig deep and he built. And when the storm came, the house stood. It would not fall. The other one, he would not build on a solid foundation. He built though, but eventually when the storm came, the house fell. What is the difference between these two people? Because both of them heard the word. Both of them heard the word. He said it there. He said, he that heareth and doeth not. The doing of the word of God is what I'm talking to you about. It's boring, but it can change your life. The doing of the word of God, the doing of it. It can absolutely change your life. That the word of God becomes, one, the dominant influence in your life, but two, it becomes the scepter of dominion. Let's close there, actually, because I have just 10 minutes to go here. Think about this for a minute. The Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, put that up for me please. He said, wherever the word of a king is, there is power. As a child of God, anytime you stand, as a child of God, anytime you stand anywhere, there is power available. Where the word of a king is, there's power. You read that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So, when the word of God is emanating out of, if the word of God is both the dominant influence in your life as well as the scepter of dominion in your life, the word of God will change everything that is ugly into good in your life. It will change it. I don't care how long it has been, it will change. Let me tell you, nothing is powerful enough to withstand the power of the word of God. And sometimes Satan wants us to believe the lie. It's not working. It is working. It's working. We just need some violence in the word. So as the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 verse 12, he said, you know, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent. Well, who is the violent? How do we? One translation says the forceful. Say the kingdom of God advances forcefully and the forceful. Take it. How? What is it that makes us that? It's the word of God. It's the word of God. But it's not just the word that we hear. We've now identified that. Because it's not the word that we read. You can read it 10 times a day. But if it's not the dominant influence in your life, see, the whole idea, the reason you read it, the reason you hear it, the reason you hear it preached, the reason you are around it, is so that it can deal with these thoughts. It can change your thoughts, the thought of your life.
The thoughts that create worry, the thought that create fear, the thought that create panic, the thought that create hopelessness, the thought that create, it's so that it can change these thoughts. So that when that word becomes the dominant influence in your life, and then it becomes your scepter of dominion, ha! That's it. There is no limit to what God, you will just become a treasure trove of miracles. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle will be happening in your life. You see it in Genesis 1. It was miracle after miracle after miracle from the very beginning when God said, let there be light. Miracle. Then he said, let the firmaments be divided. Heaven, earth, miracle. And after every single one, he said, he saw it, it was good. He saw it, it was good. He saw it, it was good. Miracle after miracle after miracle. It's not necessarily like these spectacular things we sometimes want. Yeah, God does spectacular, don't get me wrong. But you can live a life of miracle without necessarily experiencing spectacular. You can live a life of miracle. In fact, the best way to live is to live a life of miracle without necessarily needing the spectacular. Because you need the spectacular when something has become really bad. You need the spectacular, for instance, when these evil thoughts have become a stronghold and now they are driving you crazy. Now you are dealing with all sorts of weird demonic, and you know, you've heard this before. You may not have heard what I'm about to say to you. Angels respond to words. You know that. Demons, evil spirits also respond to words. That was the place, you know. Just as, you know, Judas had done his thing. He was there, you know, like a chameleon, doing his thing, kind of going through the motions. There was a time when he was dealing with a problem, and, you know, he was struggling with it. Then finally, he succumbed to it. He stopped struggling with it. He had bought into it, and he had decided, I'm going to do it. But he was still feasting. He was still hanging around the disciples. And then finally, Jesus said to him, hey, that which you are going to do, go and do it. And the Bible says he left there and the devil entered into him. Think about it. He left there and the devil entered. See, words. This word of God has to be the dominant. Let's close here today. It has to be the dominant influence in your life. Hallelujah. It has to be the dominant influence, and then it has to be the scepter of your dominion. Scepter. What does that mean, scepter of your dominion? See, it was the dominant influence in the heart of the Father. In Genesis 1:1, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was the dominant influence. But when God said, it became the scepter of dominion. In the beginning, the Word was always the dominant influence. That you've got to do something about. You've got to make up your mind. Nothing else is going to become the dominant influence in my life. Technology will not become the dominant influence. Media will not become dominant influence. My secular education, thank you. Facebook, social, as good as these things are, these are all very good things. They are very, God can use those things. But you have to make sure it won't be the dominant influence. Do you know? There's a lot of conspiracy theories that come out of social media. Do you know this? that it originates from social media. The first person who planted the thought put it in social media, and then it started growing. And then millions of people started, they believed it. Millions of people started repeating it as though it's gospel truth. When you trace it and trace it and trace it and trace it, you find that it came from someone who just recorded a 2-minute video on YouTube. No, seriously. I'm telling you the truth. And some of those things kill. People die for it. Some people lose their lives for it. Out of one crazy man waking up one morning, turning on the camera and doing a 2-minute video on YouTube. And then the first person liked it, saw it, liked it, shared it with 10. The 10 said, I like it. Like. Before you know it, 1 million people liked it. Million. Before you know it, the thing is all over the world and it becomes a religion. Everybody believes this conspiracy theory. It's now the dominant influence in these people's lives. The way to use it is the way many of our ministers here use it, and I love it when I see it. Is you take the word of God, the gospel. You take these authentic, powerful things. You put it there. People will see it. And it will challenge them. They may not say nothing, but they will see it and they will challenge them. It challenge their thinking. It challenge their approach to life. But all these things that come out of somewhere, we don't even know where it came from. Somebody can even say, God showed up, an angel showed up in the middle of the night and told me, I don't care what angel showed up in the middle of the night in your bedroom. Because it may be because of what you ate for dinner. I can't go by that. I can't go by what an angel told you in the middle of the night. What I go by is this word. If what the angel told you does not line up with this word, like my people say, tofiakwa, forget it. Forget it. It has to line up with this word. It has to line up with this word. Some people say, well, you know, I saw this trance. I saw this vision. Good for you. But if that vision does not line up with this word, excuse me for spitting on you. It has no place. It has no place. Don't even repeat it. Don't make yourself a conduit for it. Don't repeat it. See, just look away from it. Don't even call your neighbor and say, did you see what somebody said? Don't even go there. Don't become one of the channels that spreads it. The Bible says somebody is preaching a gospel that does not line up with the gospel, the true authentic. He said, don't wish them Godspeed. He said, don't wish them Godspeed. How do you wish them Godspeed? By spreading it. By sharing it. By being a conduit for it. Don't even wish them God. Don't enhance. They will do whatever they will do. They will pay. They will advertise. They will do. They will pay Facebook and pay whoever. They will get it out anyway. But you don't be a part of it. Let's close. What are the two things we've learned? It's 1 o'clock. Let the word of God be the dominant influence in your life. Foundation first. And then all the other things that come from it. Let the word of God affect every thought. Every thought. Weigh it by the word of God. Weigh it in the balance. Let the word of God affect your words. Become so richly full of the word that that's what's coming out of you. That's what's coming out of you. I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. That's the word of God. Speak that. Don't say things like, I think this headache may kill me. That's not the word. How can you read the word 10 times a day and still say something so sacrilegious out of your mouth? That's blasphemy. How can you read this word so many times a day and you still say something so accursed? Check those dominant influences. Eject the ones that you need to eject. And elevate the word of God. Elevate the word of God. Hallelujah. Folks, the word of God works. Sooner than later, we will see the evidence of it. Watch it. Sooner than later, the house that the word built will never fall. I don't care how many termites, I don't care how many scorpions, the house that the word of God be will never fall. Will never fall. So keep on building it. Keep on building. Use that brick. One brick after the other. One brick after the other. One brick after the other. My life is getting better. My life is getting better. I have no regret. Thank you, Lord, for my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil may say, the world is against you. Say, you are a liar, Satan. God is on my side. I'm blessed and highly favored. I am accepted in the beloved. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Keep on speaking that word. Keep on building with that word. Keep on building with that word. I'm going somewhere. I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen. Everything is coming together in my life. Yes, I know that when I look at it right now, some things seem out of place. Some things seem out of whack. But don't you worry. I'm going to keep speaking the word. And eventually, everything is going to come together. And every word that God spoke concerning me will be evident and will be seen. Woohoo! Do you receive that, folks? I said, do you receive this? Stand to your feet. Oh, hallelujah. Let's have a party around the word of God. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Just like God, keep building it. Keep building the different sections of that house. Keep building it. You may attain success in one area and say, oh, wow, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Wow, this is so good. God is so good. Wow, God has favored me. God has blessed me. And then you look at one other area and it's like, whoa, why am I struggling so much in this area? Don't worry. Don't talk the struggle. Speak the word. Say, speak the word. You know, well, where's that thing? This speak the word only? Is it Winston? Okay. He came from that centurion, I think. The centurion. I think he came from there. He said, he saw him. They came and told him, oh, he's already dead. Your daughter or somebody is already dead. Jesus said, don't fear. Don't just believe the word and speak the word only. Speak the word only. I love it. You can see the evidence. You can see it. You can see, well, this thing is not lining up. Don't speak that. Speak the word only. Hallelujah. Speak the word only. Amen. Speak over everything that concerns you. Speak over it. Your career may not look promising right now. Don't speak that. Speak the word only. People may even say, well, all this Bible you are preaching, all this Bible you are talking, where is the evidence in your career? Say, don't worry, just keep watching. You keep watching. Isn't that what the Lord told them? He said, well, you made light. I hear all these demonic spirits were speaking. Okay, you created light now. You created the firmament. But where is the man? You said you were going to make man. Where is the man? God said, keep watching. Just keep watching. Man is coming. Man is coming. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, man is coming. Man is coming. Man is coming. Man is coming. You may not need man. You may need healing. Say, healing is coming. You may not need healing. Maybe you need a breakthrough at work. Say, breakthrough is coming. Maybe it's not a breakthrough at work. Maybe you just need a financial blessing. Say, financial blessing coming. Maybe that's what now. Maybe you need a children. Children coming. Maybe children run away from home. Say, children coming back home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's have a word party. Hallelujah. Let's have a word party. Oh, my. We can just get around Genesis 1 and we can just party all night long. Just around Genesis chapter 1. Just around Genesis chapter 1. It's coming. It's coming. Keep watching. It's coming. It's coming. The blessing is coming. Miracle is come. Hallelujah. And remember, it's a scepter of dominion. So that means you rule by it. You rule by it. And if you are, you know, there's a difference between people who are ruling and people who are sulking. And people who are frustrated. You are not, you can't rule and be frustrated at the same time. You can't get up and say, this is so frustrating. How can it be frustrating and you say you are ruling? You can't rule and be frustrated at the same time. You keep standing. You keep speaking the word. You keep believing it. And you keep producing. What are you producing? Good. I say, what are you producing? Good. Why? Because a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, does what? Just keep producing. Good. 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 Raise up your hands to heaven. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. I receive your word into my life today. I yield to the Holy Spirit. The word of God will be, ever be, the dominant influence in my life. It will affect everything about my life, beginning with my thoughts, the thoughts that I allow in the environment of my mind, in my consciousness, must be thoughts that are deeply rooted in the Word of God. Any thought not deeply rooted in the Word of God, I reject right now. You have no place in my life. The Word of God is the dominant influence in my life. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. There's a good treasure within my heart. A good treasure of the Word of God. Therefore, this treasure is producing good things in my life. God is taking me in every area of my life from without form and void to good. Then he's taking me in every area of my life from good to very good. The word of God is not only the dominant influence in my life, but it is also the scepter of dominion in my life. I take the word. I believe the word. I receive the word. I don't play games with the word. In the name of Jesus, I take the word. I speak the word over every situation in my life. I understand that where the word of a king is, there is power. I understand that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God advances forcefully, and the forceful are pressing into it. I am one of the forceful. I am forceful by the word of God. Everything God has promised me, I forcefully take hold of it. I forcefully engage it. I forcefully receive it. I forcefully manifest it. I refuse to take no for an answer. Every good thing that God has ordained for my life as declared in the word of God, I speak it and I declare it. It is mine. It is mine. It is mine. I have it. 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 And all eyes will see the evidence and the manifestation of the good word of God that is producing good things in my life. And God will get all the glory. God will get all the praise. My life will be a living testimony. My life will be a working miracle. God will do a holistic work in my life. One good thing will lead to another until I find my perfect destiny. I will not quit on any word God spoke until I see the full manifestation of that word in my life. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and bless his name. Woo! Woo-hoo!